back. Another episode of Off the Cliff Show, brought to you by the 14th Market Podcast Network. I usually don't record after games or post games, but it was just a huge win. Sixers over the Heat tonight. Playoff implications. Tyrese Maxey, huge game. Joel Embiid, second game back. He had a good first half. Kelly Oubre, sign him to a lifetime contract. But we're going to get right into it. Might do an intro, might not. But just in case, I'm going to say, here's the intro. Maybe cut it out, maybe not, because I kind of want to get it out fast. But yeah, man, let's get right into it. Tyrese Maxey, probably the best game of the season for him. First 15 first quarter points. Also, actually, we're just going to give y'all the whole stat line. So he ended with 37, 9, and 11, right? First team, 15 first quarter points. And like I said in the last video, right, when Joel is back, he's going to lose his mind because he's going to have so much space and he's not going to be the number one option on defense anymore. So teams cannot sell out to him on pick and rolls. They can't blitz him. They can't double team him because you have to worry about Joel, and Joel is the main focal point that you have to go double team. So you could even see it like early on in the first quarter where Joel was cooking, Maxey was cooking. They were running their Maxey Joel pick and roll, and the Heat defense was like, which one do we stop? Like, what do we do? And it goes around and it goes into saying like, they're just going to look so good, especially when Joel gets back into form and he looks back to his old self. Like, he still looks good. He's still moving around well right now, but you could tell he's trying to get into a rhythm, get his conditioning back, get his wind back. But as far as Maxey, like I said, looked great. Looked like he learned from these 2 months of Joel being out and how to be a number one option and how to take over games and pick his spots and really attack defenses in different ways. Because at times and points in this game, especially in the second half when Joel didn't have it cooking and he honestly just looked bad on offense, Maxey was like, don't worry about it, I got us. Like, everybody chill out. Like, I'm putting y'all on my back. I'm putting y'all in the backpack. And I'm saying, I'm going to go win this game for us. So huge game for him tonight. He was also, like I said, he was good playmaking as well. 11 assists tonight. The Heat went zone, and the Sixers, you could tell they picked apart the zone. They just needed to hit shots. But even then, like, Maxey was still finding people. And I'm sorry, I'm getting notifications on my phone. But he was still finding people, passing players open, getting players in their spots, hitting the open guy, which led to 11 assists tonight. One rebound off of his first career triple-double, but that's okay. He'll get them eventually. But like I said, huge game from him tonight. What I really want to pinpoint or stand, like, what I really want to, like, how do I say this? What I really want to focus on is him understanding and learning from the last 2 months without Joel how to attack a defense and not be the number one option and how to take over a game. Because he did it in those 2 months without Joel. Like, he was like, okay, well, we don't have Joel, it's on me. And that's hard for a young player to learn, like, on the fly and in the middle of the season. But he was able to do it, and he's learned from that. And now with Joel, I know the floor probably looks huge to him because, like, he can do whatever he wants. And especially against a Heat defense that pretty much sells out on you not getting to the rim. And, like, they're going to force you into those tough pull-ups. They're going to force you into a lot of threes. And they're just going to say, all right, well, you're just going to have to beat us this way. Maxey was able to get to the rim at will tonight, almost like whenever he wanted to. And he's so good finishing, the Heat couldn't do anything with him, especially because he was one-on-one and they couldn't double-team him. You could even see, like, in previous games or without Joel, when Maxey would look to drive, you could tell, like, all right, this is Maxey scoring time. Like, opposing teams and opposing defense would just trap. They would either trap him or they would just put three players in his vision. So whichever way he went, or they would just try to cut off his driving lane, he wouldn't be able to get there. But now you could even see it. Like, it was one position where I think it was Maxey versus Caleb Martin or somebody, right? And, like, Haywood Highsmith is, like, hedging over, but, like, not hedging over because, like, he's scared because he doesn't want to leave. I think it was Kyle Lowry open for the entry pass to Embiid, and he didn't want to leave that open. So he's like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do. And then Maxey just blew by Caleb Martin for a layup. And that's just something that he has not been used to for the past 2 months, and he is probably so happy Joel is back. So huge Maxey game. Proud my dog is back. Like I said, probably the best game of the season from him. because of the implications, playoff seeding. Like I said, it was a playoff game. Well, it was a playoff feeling. The Heat fans were there early. That was dope. But yeah, let's talk about the Heat, right? So they are the most coward professional basketball team I've ever seen in my life. Eric Spoelstra is putting them in the huddle. First of all, they can't play man defense at all, because when they play man defense, they get tore up, right? So what they do is they just go to this coward zone. Like, Eric Spoelstra gets grown men, grown professional basketball players in a huddle and say, guys, we're going zone, right? And he wants them to play an LLO, and we're gonna high school press and full court press and do all this weird stuff that you're not supposed to do in the NBA, because, like, what are we doing? Like, they're just cowards, right? They're not a real professional basketball team. The offense is just depending on fluke BS to happen all game. Like, it was one, like, Terry Rozier got a steal before the end of the half. Like, some fluky steal before the end of the half, and shoots it from damn near logo. His bread, bam, hit a bank shot three. Highsmith hit a bank shot three. Like, it's a bunch of fluke stuff that happens for them to even get points. Like, they're not a good offensive team, right? They're just the fluky team that's not real. They're unprofessional. Well, no, they're not unprofessional, but they're not a professional basketball team. Like, nobody takes them serious. They're not a threat. They're just really annoying. So, like, whatever, dog. I hate the Heat, and I hate that brand of basketball. And they try to, like, live off this Heat culture BS that's not real. They try to get everybody's body fat under and all this weird stuff. Like, bro, no. Y'all just not, like, it's just not a professional basketball team. Like, they're just cowards, dog. Like, first, they started off, they went to the full court press, right? Coward, high school, because they couldn't play man. So then full court press comes. All right, cool. They get a couple turnovers, whatever, dog. Then they come down, they set up in the zone. Like, what type of, like, oh, I want to cuss so bad, bro. But anyway, they end up getting out of the zone. I think they cut the leads. They ended up getting the lead. They get out of the zone. They go back to playing man. The Sixers immediately get a 15-point lead because nobody on that team can guard. It doesn't matter who's out there. I don't care about no Jimmy Butler. I don't care about no Haywood Highsmith. I don't care about no Bam Adebayo. They don't know how to play defense, man. That's why they always have to be in, like, super help and play zone, because nobody knows what they're doing. They can't guard the man in front of them. They don't know how to slide them puppies because they don't get in the gym and they don't work on their game. Everybody's just – there's just a team full of – has-beens and undrafted picks that are just a bunch of tryhards, and all they do is try hard all game because they losers and don't get no hoes. That's what really is going on over there in Miami. They live in Miami, but they don't really get no hoes. So they just try hard, and they're like, oh my god, they're just a bunch of I'm just happy to be in the NBA type people. It's a bunch of like Malachi Flynn's over there. Just all of them is just little Malachi Flynn, except for, like, Bam and Jimmy, right? And Jimmy is even iffy because down the stretch of this game, he sucked. So, like, anyway. So, even though the Heat did go zone, right, it did frustrate the Sixers a little bit. Frustrated me because they continuously made, like the Sixers continually had stupid turnovers. When the Heat went on their run after playing their coward zone defense, it was like they needed somebody to just settle them down and say, okay, y'all, let's get a good shot here. Don't worry about it. And you would think, especially from this past season, from the way this season has gone, it would be Nick Batum. But Batum was the one throwing the consecutive turnovers. He was just like, there was this, like, uncharacteristic bad turnovers. There was one where somebody got doubled at the wing or something happened, right? And Batum, like, Embiid passed it to Batum, and then Embiid went to go cut, and Batum just grabbed it and, like, tried to tap it back to him, and the Heat player just stepped in front of it and was like, all right, and just took it, laid the ball up. And I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Joel had a couple, like, bad turnovers, and it's just like, The game honestly shouldn't have been close. It was like a lot of self-inflicted mistakes by the Sixers. And honestly, during the game, like, I was watching, I was like, this is just like an old Sixers loss. Like, they're just not disciplined. They're not mentally detailed. And these are the games that they need to be coming down the stretch if they really want to push for that 6-seed playoffs and get out of the play-in, right? It was just weird that they just looked like they were not locked in on offense or defense at times. And it was just, I was so confused. And I was like, what? Like, they haven't looked like this all season, except for like the run without Joel. Like, they would have on and off nights, but like they're just not as detailed as they need to be, and they're just not disciplined like they need to be. And I was so confused, especially because it was like Nick Batum and Kyle Lowry making mistakes. Just to go back, like when the Heat went on a run, like I said, a bunch of fluke stuff, right? So while the Heat go on a run and B misses a wide open layup, KJ Martin misses the tip, like he's tapping the ball, he's at the rim, he's basically about to put the ball in the rim, and it like hits the front of the rim and bounces off, like a bunch of fluke stuff for the Heat to go on runs because they can't play defense and their offense sucks, and they have Bam Adebayo out there who can't do anything real because all he does is play defense. He's just a fake center. But can't go. I'm trying not to go on my rant. Another player that pissed me off tonight, and I Sixers fans, I don't know. Like, Buddy Hill might suck. All right. Like, I was thinking, like, when Joel comes back, he's gonna have so much space. It's like it's gonna be basically impossible for him to hit a three because he's so open, right? And you would think, like, you got to get him going by manufacturing open threes and open looks for him. These past two games, he's had open looks, and he just cannot hit these open looks. I don't know. Like, he cannot hit threes. I don't know what's going on. It was one where he caught the ball. It was wide open. He pump faked it and, like, dribbled in and then stepped back to shoot a three. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Like, he doesn't shoot as quick as I thought he did. He does shoot kind of slow. I'm like, bro, what's going on? He might just actually suck, y'all. So he can't play defense, and if he's not hitting his three, there's really no point of having him out on the floor. Hopefully, like, as they get into a more of a rhythm with Joel back and they all start to get healthy, maybe he'll get into like a little rhythm. But at this point, like, he's not even getting, like, he's been so bad, he's not even like getting the minutes that he would need to, like, I guess, get his confidence back or get back into a rhythm. He played 11 minutes tonight, and I vividly remember all of these minutes because he was so bad the entire time, dog. And he might just suck. Right now, I can't see him getting playoff minutes, honestly. And I don't think you should give him playoff minutes with campaign playing better than him. KJ Martin had a good game tonight. Just guys off the bench. Tobias will be back. And Tobias has even played better than him. Y'all know how much I hate Tobias, but I don't think Buddy Hill can warrant playoff minutes right now, especially with the guard rotation that they have. And hopefully with Covington and De'Anthony Melton coming back, whenever we get an update on them. But, yeah, I already spoke about Batum. He, for some reason, can't seem to hit an open shot anymore. He was also making, like, mental mistakes. It was, like, a really, very weird game from, like, the veterans. I took down notes during the game. And, like, I had Buddy Hill sucks twice. And then the second time, it's in all caps. Another player that was frustrating tonight was Joel Embiid. And the only reason, so I give Joel a pass because, right, he's getting back into a rhythm. He's kind of, he's trying to get his win back. But what I didn't like tonight was he looked like the old Embiid where he was just settling for jumpers. He wasn't really trying to bang down low. Like, earlier in the season, Joel, you could see the difference in him, right? You could see, like, he was like, all right, I'm only going to take the open jumper if it's there. If not, I'm just going to back you down and use my power and use my strength and get you under the rim. Or I'm going to just back you down, draw a defender, and make the correct pass. Tonight, he started off hot, and then, like, in the second half, he was just really bad on offense. He was, like, he wasn't rebounding. He wasn't, imposing his will. He wasn't physical. He was settling for a lot of jumpers. Like I said, he missed the layup. And, like, I kind of attribute it to, like, the brace and, like I said, him getting his win back, trying to get into a rhythm. It's going to be kind of tough because, like, these games are now playoff games for the Sixers. So Joel is going to have to, like, kind of flip his mindset to, all right, I have to play at playoff intensity. But the rebounding is just something, like, I can't excuse because, like, you're just seven, so you have to be able to rebound. And that's one thing that you can control, right? He got out-rebounded by Kevin Love tonight. I think Kevin Love had 13 or 14 rebounds. Joel only had four, which is pretty inexcusable, especially the way the Heat were crashing the glass. At some point, he just has to clear out space and be like, all right, I'm going to go get the ball. And He was doing that really well earlier in the season. That's why he was on his run to MVP, because he was averaging 35 and 10, and he would have like 8 boards at halftime. In some games, he would have like 35, 15 game. I think the 70-point game, he had 15 rebounds or something like that. I got to go double check. But yeah, yo. I just need him to go back to rebounding and be right. I don't need if I understand like the physicality of, you know, getting the post, banging down low. He's probably still trying to get used to his knee and playing again at, you know, going 100%, going full throttle. He's probably still like, all right, testing the knee out. And, you know, I get it. And he's going to settle for jumpers sometimes just because he's not going to feel completely comfortable yet. I'm cool with that. Like, I'm cool with everything on offense. It's the rebounding that is just like it's like a want and a will thing. Other than that, he was great on defense tonight, even down the stretch of the game. He was caught on the perimeter a couple of times where he was versus like Terry Rozier. He was versus Jimmy Butler, and they tried to drive past him, and he would just like blow up the player, or he would just stay with him on a drive to where they were just scared because he's Joel. He's one of the best defenders in the league, and they would just kick it out, or like he would cause a turnover. But he was amazing. He was amazing versus OKC down the stretch defensively too. So yeah, like it's good to know that will always be there for Embiid, and especially with the team help around him, because Maxey, again, last possession of the game, played amazing defense on Terry Rozier. We all know Terry Rozier is very shifty. He actually beat the play before that. He beat Paul Reed. He beat somebody on like a three, step back three. Like he just created space, and then he kept trying to create space on Maxey for the open three. And Maxey would just stay with him and stay in front of him, keep him from getting to his pull up hand. And it was just amazing defense, team defense down the stretch tonight. They really locked in. Kyle Lowry, huge, because while Maxey was playing that defense on Rozier, Maxey kind of forced him to Lowry. Lowry came over, kind of tied him up. Rozier was forced to throw it to Jimmy Butler. And then Jimmy did something weird because he threw all this fluke stuff, ended up turning it over. Maxey got the steal. They ended up winning the game. But yeah, great team defense from them last tonight. And I gotta get to this. They need to sign the Sixers. Let me get to the mic. The Sixers need to sign Kelly Oubre to a lifetime contract, because the way that man plays basketball, I'm inspired by it. You know what I'm saying? Kelly Oubre tonight. Amazing tonight. Like, you can tell, like, everybody around the team is still trying to figure out how to play with Joel, with him back, because they've been – I have a theory, right? During this stretch for a little while, they are going to look better offensively with Joel off the court at times, right? Because they've been playing without him for 2 months, and they're just so used to playing a certain way and depending on certain people. And like, they all know where to be, right? Because they've been playing so long with each other without Joel. So it's going to look weird sometimes with Joel on the court. Like, he's going to hold the ball sometimes. A lot of people, they aren't going to know where exactly to go. They have to get back into the rhythm that they were playing with earlier in the season. Perfectly fine, right? So, and you can see that from Kelly Oubre earlier. Like, he's not going to get the shots that he was. Like, a lot of people aren't going to have the ball as much. Like, campaign, perfect example. But Kelly Oubre, he's seeming to figure it out quickly, right? So, tonight, off the floor, Joel off the court is like him and Maxey time, right? So he had 7 straight points. He had 2 back-to-back threes. One was a pull-up. A hezzy pull-up three. I was like, oh my God, Kelly. Then he got they were able to get a steal. Jimmy Butler's riding him all the way down to the opposite end of the court. He gives Jimmy a little chicken wing. Jimmy falls and flops, does his weird thing, lays the ball up. He flexes at Jimmy. But just huge defensively and huge offensively, where the Sixers needed a pickup. They needed somebody else to take the eyes off of Maxey for a second, right? Or Maxey and Embiid for a second, right? And Kelly Oubre was there. Like, he's been pretty much all season. He was there to release some pressure off of the both of them. Even when Joel was out, he took some pressure off of Maxey. So where it's like, okay, I'm just going to hit big shots. I'm going to get his back into this game. I'm going to help my guys out, right? And that's with the 2 threes, the layup that he had. I think he had an and one at one point. I had a big dunk earlier in the game too, but he's like he's been the consistent driving force for them, to where it's like, okay, when we need a bucket, or Maxey and Joel are not going as they should, like they're not going how they usually are in this moment, Kelly Oubre is usually there. And it's weird because like before the season and before the signing, you're like, well, after the signing, you're like, All right, he's a little streaky. He's a little sporadic. But he's honestly been one of the Sixers' most consistent players all season. So you need to sign him to a lifetime contract. He plays defense. He's there on offense when you need him. And he's somebody you can look forward to, unlike Tobias Harris, right? Also, Tobias out this game, so what? Who cares? We all knew they were going to win once he was ruled out. But yeah, huge Kelly Oubre game. What did he have? 18-8 tonight, so he was on the boards as well, something that they needed. Joel also didn't read off his stats. 29-4, one block, 11-25. But yeah, big Oubre game, big Maxi game, good Joel game. As he gets used to getting back and as his he's more confident in his knee, we're going to see MVP Joel pretty fairly soon. We're going to see MVP Joel back very soon as he gets more confident in that knee and as he gets his win back, because I think that's really what's going on, because you can see at times tonight he was like really tired. And he's going to be like that for a little while. I don't expect him to get back fully conditioned until probably towards like the latter end of the season. So probably like with like 2-3 games left, or he might even take him until the playoffs. Hopefully they can get, you know, honestly, the play-in might be a good thing for him, because they can continue playing and he doesn't get like the week off. I don't know. It's weird. It's something to think about. Like he won't get the week off for the playoffs, and then to where he'll have to get back into rhythm. Like it's just, I don't know. It's weird. It's something to think about. But yeah, huge win tonight. They are now a game back of the Pacers and the Heat for the sixth seed. Yeah, hopefully they can make it to the sixth seed. Like I said, huge Maxi game tonight. Joel finally has his co-star. You can see it where Joel couldn't, like I said earlier, Joel couldn't hit his shot. And it was times where Joel is still trying to like get into his rhythm and like his mindset. Like Maxi, did I talk about Maxi for a quarter? It doesn't matter. But like Maxi hit a big shot in the fourth quarter. And you would think like next time down, Joel's like, all right, cool. We're just going to funnel everything to Maxi. We're going to funnel everything to Maxi. I'm not particularly hot right now, but he kind of got the ball at the top of the free throw line, held it, and like stalled the offense. It was like, all right, we didn't need that. Then when he like waited to the end of the shot clock, shot a jumper, missed. But yeah, huge fourth quarter. Maxi as well hit a pull up, hit two pull up mid ranges. And Maxi working in the mid range, I've talked about it all season. If he can start to work into the mid range instead of dropping all the way to the rim or only settling for step back threes, he is going to unlock a completely different player for himself. And before I was like, all right, he might not make all NBA because I just quite didn't see it. There's a lot of like guards where you're like, all right, they're going to make it. But like, I can honestly see him. He might not make it this season, but I can see him being a perennial all NBA player because he's so hard to guard, especially when he goes on his heaters. Like I talked about before, if he can figure out, well, he's learning right now on the fly, and he's so good at learning on the fly. I don't know what it is, but working in the mid-range is going to open up so much for him, because now you don't know. He can stop on a dime, pull up on the mid-range. He did it a lot tonight. Or he can just take you all the way to the rim, or he can step back. And it's so hard for players to guard something like that, especially with his speed and his ability to stop on a dime. Just something I'm looking for. I love Maxi. That's my dog. But, yeah, huge win tonight. Yeah, I'm just going to try to get this out quick, man. Hopefully they can play. They did this on. Now they can go into their easy part of their schedule. I think they play their next game is either Saturday or Sunday. Sixers schedule. Let's see. I know I did this the past time. Their next game is against the Spurs Sunday. No. It's Grizzlies Saturday. Oh, they're on a back-to-back, so Joel won't play one of these games. Crap. All right, so it's Grizzlies Saturday, Spurs Sunday, Pistons, Magic, Nets. They have to win out if they want the sixth seed. So hopefully they can do that. Joel will most likely miss one of those games, which is okay. We have a Tyrese Maxey.